All right, here we go. Hour number two of The Blitz is live right here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Friday the 26th. Time is 11:01. Broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Man, we are broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. As always, the podcast is uploaded just moments after the show will go off the air. As always, you can go and check the Periscope. You can see our bright and shining faces on that. That's on the Facebook and Twitter accounts. Then, of course, go ahead and check out fanrunradio.com. You'll definitely want to check it out before tomorrow's basketball game. Get a little bit of a preview, a little bit of an insight on the Auburn and Tennessee game tomorrow. And, of course, last thing, go ahead and download the Fan Run Radio app. It is a must-have right now. A must-have as we are entering the final few games of the basketball season. As we are entering tournament time, you gotta have the Fan Run Radio app because, hey, you never know when you're gonna need to tune in to the station. You never know when you're gonna want to tune in to something that you can't miss on the Volunteer Reaction postgame show. It's free. It'll cost you nothing. So go ahead, get the Fan Run Radio app, and you'll be ready to roll. Speaking of, we ready to roll? Hour number two?
Let's do it.
All right. Rick Butler, Brandon Orrick, and Chance Collins making our way to hour number two. Guys, in about 15 minutes, we are going to have Logan Quinton on talking about the baseball team. But what about until then, what about we do a little Friday headlines? And we get a little bit of an opening drive here to start out the second hour of the show. We got a ton of stuff. Big news day, so we might as well try to condense it. What do you say? Opening drive, start out the first segment of hour two.
Let's do it.
And first down. Coming from ESPN, coming off of a third straight NL East title and getting to within one spot of the World Series, the Atlanta Braves have extended the contract of manager Brian Snitker through the 2023 season. The extension announced Friday includes a club option for 2024. 65-year-old Snitker took the Braves on an interim basis in 2016 when the club was in the midst of a massive rebuilding job. After going 72-90 in his first full season, Atlanta won the first of its three straight division titles in 2018. Think this is a good move?
He's been their best coach that they've had.
Oh yeah,
turnaround since Bobby Cox. I mean, they're doing Bobby Cox stuff, winning the East, and not really doing anything else. So he's kind of keeping their tradition going.
We'll see.
You had to.
We'll see what happens. Like I said. My Mets, new ownership, it's a new team. We'll see how much longer they're still winning the division.
Man, Atlanta was so close there last year, weren't they? Weren't they up on the Dodgers 3-1?
Did they choke away?
I don't know if the, I thought the Dodgers whooped up on them. Maybe it was the.
I can't remember. I can't remember how it happened.
Yeah, they were in a better position last.
I thought it was 3-1. I could be wrong. But somebody fact check me. Maybe we'll ask Logan too, because Logan's a big baseball guy. We might get his one quick thought on the Braves.
They were up 3-1 at one point.
Wow.
Dodgers came back.
Oh yeah, Game 7.
Game 7 was what it was.
I remember a lot of disappointment around these parts of the town.
Maybe Josh was pretty sad.
You hate to see it.
No, you don't, Mets fan.
Guys, second down. Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade from the Seattle Seahawks, agents say. Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade, according to his agent telling Adam Schefter. Mark Rogers, who is Wilson's agent, has told the Seahawks that he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were considered, the only teams he would go to are, like we talked about yesterday, Bears, Raiders, Saints, Cowboys. He has expressed frustration after the season over all the hits that he has taken. But it sounds like right now the saga of Russell Wilson maybe slows down, or maybe this just ramps back up. But what we know today is that he has not demanded a trade yet, at least according to his agent.
Well, he may not have demanded one. He might have asked for one. It's all about the semantics, Rick.
Ah. You got to read between the lines.
It's about the PR look. I feel like that.
Yeah.
It came out looking kind of bad for him. That he's now, just demanding all these things, but
Deshaun Watson is demanding a trade.
Yeah,
he really is.
He's throwing up the double birds.
I don't think Russ is to that point yet.
Deshaun Watson had a tweet, I believe, earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday, but I believe it was a future lyric.
I don't know what that means.
Whoa!
Siri.
Siri wants to be involved in the conversation today, apparently. Hit the wrong button. Deshaun Watson had a tweet that said, again, I think it was a future quote, something about loyalty over everything. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with him, man. Oh, there it is. Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it. I'm on Deshaun Watson's side here, but I don't know. Like, isn't loyalty partly also go to a contract that you might have signed only 6 months ago? Well, I know that there's a big, you know, there's a lot of frustrations and a lot of problems there in Houston right now. You did just sign a contract.
But if they're not holding up their end, if they're not, I mean, it goes both ways.
Sure. And I bet that, you know, if he had known everything he does now, maybe that contract would not have been signed. Maybe certainly things have happened afterwards. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. He did apparently meet with the new coach yesterday. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. Did not matter. He's still still planning on what he has already been planning. And third down. Brandon, we talked about this earlier at the beginning of the show. Ty Simpson, five-star quarterback prospect, will be announcing his destination for the fall later today. Again, 3 o'clock p.m. Knoxville time, 2 o'clock p.m. Central time. We got a five-star quarterback, Ty Simpson. Again, he is from Martin, Tennessee. Help me out here. Where's that?
West.
Okay. So he's from West Tennessee, Westview High School, five-star quarterback, number 3 pro-style quarterback in the class, number 2 player ranked in the state of Tennessee. Again, the 4 hats that'll be on the table: Tennessee, Ole Miss, Clemson, Alabama. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. What do you think?
I don't think we get him. I think it's either Clemson or Alabama, and probably Alabama.
Chance, does Tennessee have any chance at the five-star quarterback?
I don't think so.
Me neither.
I mean, when you look at where you want to go, if you're talking about quarterback development too, I mean, he's got definitely a better shot to succeed at the next level if he goes to Alabama or Clemson, and he's going to be on a much broader stage and more celebrity. So it'd be like George Mason going to the Final Four if Tennessee were to swipe him.
Yeah, you look at those other teams. You look at Alabama, what they've done with the quarterbacks. Clemson, what they've done with quarterbacks. Ole Miss, what Lane Kiffin can do. Granted, it's a new Tennessee team that nobody has really seen yet. We can go back to Heupel's, you know, Heupel and Hasley and Golesh and all those guys at UCF and see that it was a lot better than the development has been here the last couple years. But still, I do think that, you know, for some of these top-level quarterbacks that you're competing against Alabama and Clemson, you got to show these guys, you know, that you can develop them right here in Knoxville as well as you could in other places too. So there you go, a little bit of news on Ty Simpson. And then, Brandon, I'm going to defer the final and fourth down over to you. You were telling me earlier today and this morning that coming up this spring, Tennessee might be taking the football field. We might be getting a little bit of information in what is going to be happening with spring practices. I know there's a lot of people who are really excited to see what, you know, is going to be taking place on the field, to see these guys on the field and see the coaches working with them. So, again, we talked about that a little bit earlier today. But Tennessee, orange and white game coming up this spring.
Yeah, I had it pulled up and then I lost it. Give me just a second and I'll get it back. This is from John Bryce, Football Scoop. It was like April 24th is when the expected date was. Like I said, I've lost it. I'm fumbling all over the place here.
No, that's okay. I did not set you up the best I ever have either. It was a little bit of a bad alley-oop myself.
Yeah, April 24th
Great.
Is the tentative date that they are planning on hosting the orange and white game and looking at late March as the start of spring practice.
Now, orange and white game, typically something that people like to travel into town for. It's a little bit of a get-together right before the summer, right at the beginning of the spring. Nice weather. Go watch the Vols. Last couple of seasons, though, there's been a little bit of drama around the orange and white game. Jeremy Pruitt saying that he wanted more people there. Obviously, last year there was not one.
I don't think you have to worry about that with Josh Heupel saying that there's not going to be enough people there. I don't think he
doesn't care, or you think that just won't be an issue?
I just don't. If he's smart and if he has smart people around him, he won't say anything about the attendance.
He's not going to call anybody out. He doesn't seem like that guy.
Are you guys planning on attending?
No. Do you remember how mad people got
when Jeremy Pruitt
did it?
Yeah. Well, it's just one of those things. I don't really think that it – I don't know what the basis of it was. Like, it's just a glorified practice. I mean, scrimmage – I haven't been to an Orange and White game since I probably first moved to Knoxville. I mean, they're cool if, like, you go to your first one. Maybe you go to two or three. But outside of that, it's just a practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glorified practice. I got an extra fifth down.
You got an extra one. Let's hear it.
The University of Tennessee to hold its 2021 spring commencement ceremony at Neyland Stadium in May.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What? So much cooler. That's so much cooler. Congratulations to those kids. That'd be pretty darn cool to walk and get your diploma in Neyland Stadium. I mean, Thompson Bowling Arena is pretty cool. Most of us did that. But Neyland, holy smokes. Lucky ducks.
Hope it doesn't rain.
Yeah.
Hope it's not too hot.
It's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Hopefully the weather stays. Does that mean Charlie?
That'll be it.
Charlie will get his diploma in Neyland?
I guess so.
Should we go? And they'll say his name and the three of us will stand up and hold big signs?
Sorry, Charlie, I'm not going. Graduations take too long.
Logan Quinton coming up next. All right, here we go back here on the Blitz. It is 11:16 a.m. And let's get to it. Man, on the phone lines right now, we are heading over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. We will get one of our own, a former legend of the Blitz. Let's welcome into the show, Logan Quinton. Logan, good morning. How you doing, man? Good to welcome you in.
Good morning, fellas. And I'm just sitting here trying to figure out a way to stave off this rain. It is looking ugly.
Dude, embrace it, Logan.
I will tell you, we were just talking about that during the break. According to this app, apparently Knoxville is under a hydrologic outlook, which I have never heard of, but it basically means, hey, flooding is on the way. So, yeah, we're trying to do the same thing. But, Logan, with that rain, we had just thought about this a second ago. Tennessee has a game today at home, 4:30 p.m. Now, the Tennessee baseball team has tweeted out that it has not been delayed yet. Do you have any kind of expectation that Tennessee may or may not play this game with all the rain?
I'm not feeling very good about it. I was actually going to ask you, weatherman Rick and all, to see what you thought. I mean, I know you mentioned a little bit about the forecast, but what say you? What's the weather going to do this weekend, do you think? Is it going to clear up? Is it going to clear up to get some games in?
All right, so I don't know if today's game is going to be likely, unless they're going to play in rain, which I don't really believe they are. You would just have a massive, massive percentage chance of rain throughout the entire day. If you go to the weather radar, you can see the big cloud. So as long as the rain continues today and kind of continues all throughout the weekend, I'm not so sure that these games get played. Hopefully there's maybe a time where, on Saturday or Sunday where you can squeeze it in. Afternoon on Saturday, it doesn't look like it's going to be raining too much, although it's going to be picking back up on Sunday. So maybe you do get a couple of those games in. But either way, Tennessee is 4-0 on the season so far. Excuse me, 5-0. Three wins against Georgia Southern to start out the year. Got a nice clean sweep. And then absolutely decimated Arkansas Pine Bluff for the last couple days. 21-1 on Tuesday, 14-6 on Wednesday. Logan, what is your initial thoughts and impression so far of this Tennessee baseball team?
Well, I think the opening weekend series against Georgia Southern, I don't think it can be overlooked how important that series was. And, people look down at the schedule and see Georgia Southern. It's not a big name. That was a tough team. That's I'll back and echo the sentiment of Tony Vitello after the series. He said that's a regional team, and I fully believe that. And I was really impressed with the intensity on both sides. Both clubs were, you know, I mean, it felt like a tournament type of game. It had that type of feel, at least a mid-season feel to it. It certainly didn't feel like the two teams had not played at all, you know, for almost a year. So that was huge to get that series sweep. I mean, Tennessee could have easily lost any of those three games. They could have certainly lost the series. But instead, they come away with the three-game sweep, and then they come home. And the most important thing for this midweek series against Arkansas Pine Bluff was to get guys in action, you know, to just clear the bench. And that's what they did. And, I mean, it was almost like it didn't matter who it was. Guys were showing out and showing off their skills. So that was really good to see. And, like I said, you got the Sycamores coming into town this weekend. Don't know how many games they're going to get in, but hopefully they'll get – I think they'll be doing good to get a couple in. If they can get two or three in, that'd be a win.
Yeah, I would certainly like to see them play games on Saturday and Sunday. Again, maybe today is going to be the most unlikely of all those games. But we actually just posted a nice, great little article here on Fan Run Radio brought to you by yourself, published a couple hours ago. The title of the article is Power Emerges as Baseballs Go Into First Weekend Series. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you wrote about in this article that people can go back and find on fanrunradio.com. I see a couple of names here from the Tennessee players that you pointed out, whether it is pitching or hitting. What are some of the biggest names in particular that have stuck out to you?
Well, you know, one of the storylines going into this year for this club was how are they going to replace that power of Alek Solari and Zach Daniels. This lineup was going to look a little bit different because of those departures. But you have guys like Jordan Beck, Liam Spence, and Drew Gilbert stepping up and showing out in big moments. And, you know, Tennessee has five preseason All-Americans. You know, most of us know about, you know, Max Ferguson and Connor Pavloni. But it was in that weekend series, it was Jordan Beck, a sophomore, who had 10 career starts coming into the year, you know, who had a big weekend. And Liam Spence with the game-winning Grand Slam. And then Drew Gilbert with the game-winning home run. So, I mean, it's not the usual suspects that came through and showed out. It was, you know, these other guys. Beck is a sophomore. Gilbert's a sophomore. Spence is a senior, but he's not been with the team long. Last year was his first year with the Vols, and you know, of course, didn't get a lot of game action in because of the pandemic. So it was nice to see Liam Spence do well, whether it's at the plate or in the field. He played a real clean game defensively, and then he hits that grand slam. So a lot of power there in the lineup. I think that's evident. And then on the mound, I was impressed with junior Elijah Pleasant. He was able to work five innings, and I mean, he came away with six strikeouts. He looked really good. Didn't get a whole lot of, I mean, batters weren't getting good contact, except for the one home run he gave up. So, you know, he looked really good to me. He and Jackson Leith combined. That was the game that went extras, and, you know, they combined for like 10 2/3 and just giving up 200 runs between the two. So that was huge. And then we've got a Morristown product, Will Heflin, senior.
Morristown, you say?
Yep. Yeah.
He played at Walter State, correct?
Wow.
Did he?
Walter State.
And then go to UT?
Will Heflin?
That's not ringing a bell,
no.
But he did go to Morristown West. I do know that. But he's a power type of pitcher. I mean, he came in. He had eight strikeouts the other day against Pine Bluff, and you know he missed last year because not only because of the pandemic, like he was recovering from a knee surgery. So, but his junior year, he was lots out as a reliever. You know, so that he's going to be huge. Like they've got so many pieces in the pen that they can stretch out and go many innings, or could even start if needed. And he's one of those guys. So 8 strikeouts in 3 innings. I mean, that's tough to do. But yeah, and everybody knows about the lethal combination of Chad Dallas and Jackson Leith. Those two guys are the head. Yeah, Texas guys, Rick.
Cheese. That's what they call him, Brandon. Cheese Dallas.
Yeah, Cheese Dallas. And like I said, he and Jackson Leith, a couple of Texas guys, they're the lead of this pitching staff. Dallas is probably going to be, it looks like he's going to be the Friday starter. Leith, that's going to be something to watch, how Tony Vitello uses Leith going forward. He came in relief over the weekend, and he's certainly a weapon out of the bench. He's a guy that can come in when your starter's struggling, and Leith can pitch 5 or 6 innings and finish the game. But also, bear in mind, they need to lock up their weekend rotation. So a lot of that's going to rely heavily on Blade Tidwell and how well he does. But I think Elijah Pleasant showed over the weekend, he solidified a spot in that weekend rotation. Now let's see if Leith can, if he's going to get a spot or if they're going to keep bouncing him back and forth.
Logan, I know for me anyway, I'm kind of pumping the brakes a little bit on this baseball team. I know they're very talented, ranked 17th by Baseball America, and they've absolutely pounded Pine Bluff, and then like we talked about the sweep to start the season. But how confident should I be in this team to make a run, given the strength of the SEC? I mean, you've got just on Tennessee's schedule, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, and Florida all ranked in the top 10. LSU, South Carolina, and Alabama also ranked that are on your schedule. So how much confidence can I put in this Tennessee team to kind of keep that rolling into conference play?
I think it'll carry over. But like you said, I mean, this is the toughest conference in the nation by far. I mean, it's so – the SEC is so loaded. You know, you could be the 6th best team in the conference and still be ranked in the top 20. You know, I know that prognosticators were they slated the Vols to be 3rd in the East, which doesn't sound like much, right? Like it's like, 3rd in the East, 3rd in a division. You know, not even the conference, the division. But the key is Florida and Vandy were the 2 teams ahead of us, and sure, those are the 2 best teams in baseball, you know, pretty much in college baseball. So they've got their work cut out for them. But I think the way things shut down on them last year, I think they're going to be so motivated. They lost some key pieces. Don't get me wrong. They lost 3 huge, huge guys. But that means they got a lot returning. And, I mean, just to think of this team, seeing as how Garrett Crochet was throwing in the majors, just mowing down batters, I could only imagine what that would have looked like in Omaha or in the tournament trying to get to Omaha. Like, I really think they were on the brink of something special, especially when you have an ace like that. Now, he's gone, and so is Solari and Daniels, but I still think they're a ton of special pieces on this team, and I think they're going to see more success in conference play. I'm not sure if they win the SEC necessarily because you've got Florida and Vandy that you've got to face, but I think 3rd in the SEC East is probably about right. But then come tournament time, it's a tournament sport, so things shorten up, things tighten up. Who knows? I think Vitello has the mindset, and he has this team with enough swag to carry through a tournament.
Logan, last thing real quick while we still got you. You know, obviously Tennessee is going to head into the weekend. Now we know the players that we're going to be watching out for and some of the players who might not be the biggest names who have still been really productive for Tennessee. Things are sounding good, but I got one more question for you, and still on the diamond, but in a little bit of a different league. What do you think about the news about the Braves manager getting a little bit of an extension today?
Oh, yeah, that was expected. Yeah, they've locked up Brian Snicker through 2023 with the option for 2024. So, and he's not, let's face it, like as long as they want him there, he will be there. And they've taken care of that. Now there's one more extension to take care of this season or the off season once the season concludes, and that's Freddie Freeman. That will happen. It's just a matter of what the numbers are. But yeah, I like to see it. He's great for that organization. The players really adapt to him, and it's no surprise, comes as no surprise, as the Braves look to try to win another division title and try to go beyond that this year.
There you go. You can find you can keep up with all of Logan's work over on fanrunradio.com. He has got some really great baseball articles up there right now and really gives you a lot of great information. I got to say, a little peek behind the curtain, as Chance likes to say, I got to say, I use a lot of Logan's articles for my own research myself because it is that good. So make sure you are going to check him out there and make sure you go and follow him at LDQ Sports on Twitter. You can go and find him there. Logan, we've had fun talking to you on this Friday. Hopefully we can make this a repeating segment on Fridays and get to talk to you a little bit about each weekend series. And man, sooner rather than later, you know, one of these big SEC weekend series are going to be coming up, and man, that's going to be a lot of fun, huh?
Oh yeah. I can't wait. And thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah, we'll make it a weekly thing.
Hey, that sounds good. That right there,
there from
is
me, Logan.
Logan Quinton. I miss him. Good dude. Good dude. Can't wait to talk to him more throughout the weeks. Hey, don't go anywhere. We'll catch this quick break. See what we can find on the other side. You're not going to want to miss it. Don't go anywhere. You know, I got to say, and this is why I got to ask you guys, because you guys can often, you know, keep me in check. But I think I might have saw one of the dumbest basketball plays I've ever seen last night. Going back to the Nuggets and the Wizards game, which I know nobody cares about the Nuggets and the Wizards. But man, there was this crazy play at the end of the game. There's like 6 seconds left in the game. The Nuggets are down 2. Jamal Murray gets a rebound. He's making his way down the court on a fast break, and it's a 3-on-1. Again, Murray, Michael Porter Jr., some other guy, they're running down the right side of the court. Murray's coming down the left side. Bradley Beal, who is the only defender, runs right up to Jamal Murray on the three-point line. So obviously he stopped ball. But then nobody just drove to the hoop. And Jamal Murray had to just throw a kind of a weak bounce pass to the corner. It was just, I don't know what was going on. What did you see?
I just saw guys that forgot about fundamental basketball. This is a 3-on-1 break. They're down 2. They easily could have tied that and went straight into overtime. Probably won that game easy.
What I see is a team that didn't want to play overtime.
Yeah, that too.
They were either going to win the game or they were going to lose.
Yep, kind of. Michael Porter Jr. and whoever that other guy is, they were not going for a layup.
They had no interest in overtime.
Not at all.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just I had seen that play come down the wire last night, and I was just shocked. Somebody said big fart noise. That's all that play was. What a descriptor. Guys, going back to a second ago, I just had this quick follow-up. Now, you guys both, without hesitation, said that you had no interest in heading to the Orange and White game. Why is that? Have you gone plenty of times before? Yeah. Chance, you were mentioning it's just kind of a practice. What are y'all's thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I've been to so many before, and I mean, my biggest thing is you can never really have any takeaways. It's like, oh, the offense look good. Yeah, well, yeah, it's also our defense that they just carved up.
Yeah, so you can't be too positive about anything that really happens. And it's just like, I mean, if you're like, you're a freshman, I mean, you just moved to Knoxville, you want to go with the family, or, you know, you're just a young kid and you want to go to your first one.
Yeah, I mean,
by all means, go to one.
Yeah, I mean, if you got kids or something, and it's a great time to go out and
it's free.
Be in Neyland Stadium. It's free.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
But it's just a, I mean, if you don't have a kid or anything like that, I don't. I mean, unless you just love going. For me, I've just been enough, and it's just a glorified practice.
Sure. I see what you're saying there. You know, I went my first 2 years of being on campus because, like Chance said, you can just walk there right on a Saturday. You and your roommate wake up at, you know, noon. You're like, oh, we'll just walk over to Neyland. We'll go watch that for a little bit. And that was a ton of fun. I recommend that to anybody. I think that maybe I'll go this year. I think that I kind of do want to go and maybe at least see a little bit of the new schemes, the new play style, see if just anything's different with my own eyes. Looking at the new staff, because that's going to be a really interesting thing. Now, granted, we're not going to get, you know, probably a lot, and we're not going to see a lot that we're going to see in the season. But I was just curious about if you guys had just gone a lot. Is it kind of like the Vol walk? Once you do that enough times, it's kind of now I'd just rather kind of stay at my tailgate or just head into the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that.
Loses a little shine.
Yeah, especially if you are, especially if you're in Knoxville and you go to a lot of the games and you see it happening a lot. We are just over 3 hours away from five-star quarterback Ty Simpson committing live. He'll be committing on CBS Sports headquarters, which you can go find that somewhere. That'll be an interesting one. Even though Tennessee doesn't have too much expectations for Ty Simpson, you got to think that would be. Gigantic. Can't even explain how big of a pickup that would be. Guys, a couple more minutes left of this segment, though. We got plenty of things to get into, all the if you haven't heards and all the days of the day coming up in the next segment. So let's finish out the last couple minutes right here with those predictions that we were talking about earlier. Brandon, I told you that we're saving your Auburn and Tennessee prediction for later in the show, and now is about as good of a time as any that I can think of. So noon tomorrow, Auburn, Tennessee. I do not believe that the spread has been announced yet.
No, they usually do that 24 hours, around 24 hours before the game.
So expect it sometime soon.
Sometime this afternoon.
Yeah.
I mean, I expect Tennessee to win. Like I said, I mean, Auburn's been a thorn in our side for, what, past two, three years, mm-hmm. I feel like. Cooper not expected to play. I expect Tennessee to get back on track, get in the win column. Hopefully they figure things out offensively and don't struggle in kind of the way they have the past two games. Hopefully they're able to go in and take care of business on the Plains. I'm going to say Tennessee 74, Auburn 63.
Okay. Chance, you're feeling pretty good about this game.
Yeah, I mean, like Brandon said, they don't have Cooper. And it's such a – the last game, I just feel like they got to bounce back. I mean, I know Vandy, but, I mean, the last loss. So, I mean, I feel like they're going to bounce back. And they Tennessee tends – I'd like to see the record, but tend to do pretty good on Saturdays this year. So, yeah, with no Cooper – it might be close just because Bruce Pearl knows how to coach against Rick Barnes. He definitely knows how to coach against him.
I mean, if we're breaking down that matchup, I think Pearl definitely has the in-game coaching advantage over Barnes.
He just has something that he knows that Barnes' is weakness. He's like Barnes' is kryptonite. But I think Tennessee wins. I definitely do.
I got to believe that too. I do believe that, and – golly, a lot of it really is. I understand the inconsistencies of Tennessee. I know what we looked like versus Kentucky. I know that there were bits and pieces of the Vanderbilt game that just did not look good. But I got to believe that Auburn right now, being 1-6 in their last seven games, three more games on the menu until just the season is over. Nothing left. No SEC. No postseason tournaments. No participation trophies. Go back to your dorm room. Three more games. I think that that is what that team is looking at. I think they know that their season's almost over. I think they know that a couple extra wins. What's that going to do? You've had one in your last seven. I really got to believe that if you are Tennessee, everything should, well, maybe not everything, but a lot of things are going to be in your favor. You have more to play for. You have more talent. You're not missing your best player. I'd love to see a good statement win tomorrow at noon.
Don't like the early games, though.
It's going to be an early one. It is going to be an... But you get the rest of your night.
Here's one thing. I don't like the early games as a home team. I like them on the road. I like them on the road. You're not sitting around in the hotel all day. You're just ready to go.
You know, if I remember correctly, the last time Tennessee beat Auburn on the road was also a noon game, wasn't it? A different sport, but wasn't it that football win?
The last time we beat Auburn at Auburn in anything?
In football? Yeah, it was...
Football or... I mean, I don't think we won in basketball.
I don't know when the last time we played down there was.
I don't know. I guess just the most notable win Auburn to me comes from that noon game.
Hopefully we can take a page out of Jeremy Pruitt's book.
Wow.
Went on the road.
Who would have ever thought that is what the basketball team needs to do. Now, don't take too many pages out, please. Please. Don't take too many pages out.
But the recruiting has been good.
Don't take too many pages out. Just take the one about going down to Auburn in a noon game. Take that one out, laminate it, put it on the bus, and hey, we should be pretty good to go. Coming up next, man, we're closing the show out with a bang. We'll send you into the weekend. We'll send you into Brandon's birthday weekend with a little bit of If You Haven't Heard. We'll get you some more predictions. And, of course, the Days of the Day brought to you by Chance Collins. Don't go anywhere. This is The Blitz. All right, here we go back here on The Blitz, 11:48 a.m. as we are making our way through the end of the show. Hey, you are almost there. It's almost Friday. Have fun this weekend. But before we let you go, before we send you over to Talk Sports coming up next, man, we got to get through one of our favorite things we do every single day. A little bit of If You Haven't Heard, and then a little bit of the Days of the Day. Brandon, you got one to start us out with?
I got two. I got one quick one and somewhat of a story here.
Okay.
First one. Eve Pons named to the semifinalist list for the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year Award. So he is one of 10 semifinalists to be named to Naismith Defensive Player of the Year.
Hey, congratulations. That's a great accomplishment. Hopefully that does not stop there either.
And the other one. Emirati police have arrested a man for allegedly stealing a highly valuable newborn camel to give to his girlfriend for her birthday.
Dedication.
The owners of the baby camel reported the theft from their farm earlier this month, according to the local national newspaper, prompting Dubai police to fruitlessly search the area. Several days later, a man called authorities to say a stray camel had wandered onto his farm some 3 kilometers away. When interrogated, the man's story fell apart. He soon admitted to trespassing on his neighbor's farm to steal a rare breed of camel for his girlfriend.
All right, I have a question. Hypothetical. What do you think there is a better likelihood of?
He tried to steal an adult, but he couldn't.
Oh, wow.
So he didn't take the baby.
This seems tough to steal an adult camel, I gotta say. What do you think is a more likely chance that this was like the gift that his girlfriend demanded, or that he basically just went rogue and was like, you know what? I'm getting her a camel. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to be that guy.
I think he decided he was going to get her a camel. I don't think she asked for one. I mean, camels are very valuable over there.
I can't imagine ever, you know.
And also, here's this. Okay. Camel racing remains a cherished pastime in the Federation of 7 Desert Sheikdoms. And occasionally, camel beauty pageants even draw traders willing to pay millions of dollars for the most prized breeds.
Camel beauty pageants.
Mm-hmm. And racing.
Would you consider a camel an athletic animal?
We read the other day that they're one of the fastest. They can run up to 30, 40 miles an hour.
Oh, my God, I forgot, yeah.
Yeah, so if you haven't heard.
Wow, good one. Good
Interesting
one.
Beast.
Good one. If you haven't heard.
Do you like the one or two-hump camels?
Two-hump.
I feel like if you're going to ride it, it might be easier to ride the two-hump one because you can kind of like sit in the valley.
Yeah,
you know
it's
kind of
like a. It's got its own like saddle built in.
Yeah. You're not going forwards or backwards, so maybe. If you haven't heard real quick, we talked about this earlier, but the Florida-Tennessee game has been rescheduled. Tennessee will have its senior night highlighting all the seniors that have done so much for this program. That will be on Sunday, March 7th. So a week and 2 days.
I wonder why they scheduled it for Sunday because I was looking at the Florida's? Other games because the SEC announced a bunch. So Alabama, Georgia rescheduled, LSU, Missouri, Mississippi State, Auburn, A&M, Arkansas, South Carolina at Kentucky, Vandy at Ole Miss. All those games are on Saturday.
Okay.
And then they throw us on Sunday. So Tennessee, Florida
on the Sunday. Maybe Florida plays. So Florida plays on 3-3, which is what, a Wednesday? Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I mean,
but that doesn't make any sense.
We played on Wednesday.
Yeah,
this week.
The whole conference has done that multiple times. So I don't really know. Maybe it's for ratings or maybe it's for something else. But either way, Tennessee does add Florida to the schedule next Sunday.
It's kind of like, and you'll have a decent break before you have to play them. Because you just have this game.
You'll have a great point.
Yeah, you got almost a week,
before
you'll have to play them. So
week to game plan Mike White's team? Come on. Got to be a win. At home, senior night, a week to game plan for Mike White? Come on. We got to win.
Danny's brother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And probably, you know, a solid.
Maybe he can text a buddy. His brother.
Solid to his brother, probably, you know, as far as.
Think about that.
Hey, we want to give your team some time to rest, too. Probably just did his brother a solid.
Well, I don't want that.
Also, if you haven't heard. Twitter announces a new feature called Super Followers. Super Followers.
I don't like it.
Basically, people can...
I don't even know what it is. I don't like it.
All right. Imagine OnlyFans for Twitter. Something like that, right?
No.
So you can now monetize your own... Well, you will be able to monetize your own content on Twitter. So basically, like if we said, you know, the only
Patreon.
Way... Yeah, the only way you can get Blitz programming is if you, you know, pay this $4.99 subscription fee and... At that point, you'll be able to go and get all the content on my Twitter, Chance's Twitter, and Brandon's Twitter. It'd be something like that. So, you know, some people are saying that, you know, the OnlyFans games, those are done. Some of these other things, Patreon, that could be in a little bit of trouble because everybody already uses Twitter. What if it's just right there? So that could be crazy. Super Followers. What a name.
Well, everybody just wants to definitely, everybody's trying to find a way to monetize all their content.
Exactly, yeah. And that's just the world now, you know?
Yeah,
everyone's got content.
Anything you do is pretty much monetization of something.
Mm-hmm.
It's some type of paywall. Most things are.
Yeah. And if, I mean, a lot of times, like content creators know that there's a lot of content that they make where it doesn't always go noticed or, you know, it doesn't always get there. So this is one of those ways where, you know, I think that might be good for people. Either way, I'm excited to see what happens with it. Could be total chaos. But anyways, that's all I got off on the you haven't heard route.
You have people that be trying to sell everything, and sometimes people
the
just
nudes,
don't know
man.
That
the nudes game is coming to Twitter. The OnlyFans thing. I guarantee it. I'm not paying extra money for that.
You can get it for free. All right, let's get to some national calendar days.
Very right, Chance. I don't know why people are doing that.
First one. National Skip the Straw Day. Save the Turtles.
Skip the Straw Day?
Skip the Straw.
God, have you ever seen the video where they're pulling that straw out of the turtle's nose?
It's really sad. It means people want to make jokes about the whole, I guess, like when California went to paper straws, like straws and, you know, six-pack rings, what they do to turtles. Pretty sad. So National Skip the Straw, Save the Turtles. It's National Tell a Fairy Tale Day. You got a favorite fairy tale?
Yeah, the little duck one that we talked about yesterday. The duck
ugly
said
duckling?
No. I said the duck. Not I said the duck.
Is that a fairy tale?
Probably
what
not.
Constitutes as a fairy tale? Like
Mother,
which stories
Mother
are fairy
Goose. Like those nursing
famous
rhyme.
Fairy tales.
Really
Jack and the Beanstalk, Three Little Pigs, Prince and the Pea, Sleeping
Three
Beauty,
Little Pigs.
All of those.
Three little pigs. Yeah.
I like Jack and the Beanstalk.
Okay.
The Three Little Pigs is very disturbing sometimes.
Hansel and Gretel.
Had the two dumb pigs, built their house out of stick and straw. Smart, rough brain pig built his house out of bricks.
I'm going Hansel and Gretel because there's a nice little WandaVision Agatha tie.
Pigs, not smart. It's also National Pistachio Day. Like pistachios?
Yeah. It's one of my least favorite nuts.
I like the commercial.
They're pretty good.